All right, you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be looking at several passages, but I want to start out by reading Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, when you found your place, if you would please stand in reverence to God's holy word. Starting in verse 41, it says this, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Help the Lord this morning. I would like to preach on the subject, hell. Amen. You may be seated. There's a story of a certain missionary that went to Africa to kind of gain access to a couple African tribes. They got some trinkets together for them to barter with them and for them to have something. And it was interesting there that there was a princess there that all the people said was beautiful. And she was the most beautiful woman there. The problem is she wasn't beautiful. And they told her that, and of course they didn't have mirrors or anything else. Well, one of the trinkets that they had that they were giving away to these people were these little mirrors that they could see themselves. And so they had never seen themselves, you know, through a mirror. And anyway, the princess got one. She went in there, and after she saw her image in that mirror, she busted the mirror and demanded that that missionary leave. And so when we think of that story, we realize that that's the same reason a lot of people turn away from this Bible. That mirror showed her the truth about her looks. And this mirror, the spiritual mirror, the Word of God, shows us the truth about our spirit, about our lives. Amen? And so a lot of times when we get the truth, we don't like the truth and we try to throw it away. But guess what? That truth doesn't change. It's still truth. And when we look at the Bible, a lot of people ask questions. A lot of people that are lost ask questions and they say, you know, is hell real? Well, the truth's in the Bible. We need to look at the Bible. Then some people will say, well, could a loving God let sinners go to hell? Well, look at the truth. What does the Bible say? And then lastly, a lot of people will say, well, is death forever or is it just you burn up and that's it? Well, again, look at the truth. What does the Bible say? And that's what we're going to look at here. The Bible speaks of hell. Jesus spoke of hell. So it is real. Hell is real. Hell is a place. Amen? When you die, you're going to go to one of two places. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. There's no purgatory. Purgatory is never mentioned in the Bible. Amen? It's either heaven or hell. And this morning, I want to look on the subject of hell. Now, the Bible tells us some of those people that are going to hell, those that will be judged. Now, I want you to notice here in Matthew chapter 11, if you would turn there, there's a section, passage here starting in verse 21. When it talks of Jesus, it says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not." Now, it says here, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it is more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Now, the Bible speaks of those going to hell. Notice what it says here. It says, "Woe unto them." Now, who is the woe pronounced upon? Well, what does it say in verse number 20? It says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. The woe is pronounced to those that have not repented. Amen. Those who did not repent of their sins. Those also who had rejected Christ and rejected His Word. Notice he said all the mighty works that were done. Basically, because those mighty works were done, it proved that He is the Savior, and they rejected Him. Amen. They rejected Him. They rejected His Word. And also those who much light was given. Notice it talks about during these times, it says, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, saying you had more light. Now, was there any more light that anyone had than the fact those people were around God Himself, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, during His ministry? Amen? So, when we think of today's times, the Bible speaks of those who are deserving of hell. Who's deserving of hell? Well, the Bible says all of us. Amen? The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible also says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all deserving of hell. We're all sinners. Amen? Christ died to save sinners. The Bible tells us that. Amen? The Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, but He commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? And the Bible tells us that, you know, rejecting Christ brings the wrath of God. John 3:36 says this, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Now the Bible speaks of the suffering of hell. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Of course, here we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. It says in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by his angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they would not pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then said he, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, here we see the story. Jesus is telling this. This is real. He didn't say, I'm making this up. This is an example or an illustration. He's talking about a event that actually took place. Wasn't it wonderful the fact that he didn't mention him by name? He just said a certain rich man. Amen? So the Bible here tells us of this rich man going there, and then he proceeds to tell us some things about hell that we need to understand. Number one, notice it says in hell, verse 23, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off. In other words, he lifted up his eyes. In other words, the Bible's telling us those that go to hell will have a body in hell. Amen? It won't just be a, it will be an actual body. Notice also in that same verse, he said, in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. People will be tormented in hell. Amen? They won't be able to stand what they're going through and they're going to be there. Amen? And then the Bible says here that in verse 24, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Notice the Bible says it's flame. Amen? It talks about fire in hell. There is fire in hell. And notice here, he's talking about, he wants him to just basically dip the tip of his finger to cool his tongue. Can you imagine that? I mean, most people, when they're thirsty, they want a lot of water, don't they? He just wants just a little relief just from the heat and everything else. And the Bible tells us that, you know, that's what he's asking for. He has extreme thirst that can't be quenched. Do you know how it is being thirsty? Have there ever been a time in your life where you were just, you can remember that you were so thirsty and you needed something to drink and there was nothing to drink? And you had to go get it or wait on someone to bring it to you? Can you remember a time like that? Think about that. That time in your life that you were like that, multiply that by 1,000 and you still can't get what hell is. And yet here we see that he's tormented. The Bible says he's tormented and he's just asking for him to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue. And the Bible tells us here that he asked for him to go in there. Well, he couldn't. Now again, we got to remember this is Old Testament. This is prior to Christ dying for our sins. So they were in the center of the earth. There's a gulf fixed between those that are saved and those that are lost. And those being in lost are in hell being tormented. Amen? And he said there's a great gulf fixed so they can't pass from one to the other. So no one could go from the heaven part of it, the paradise part. They couldn't leave paradise to go to hell, and the people in hell couldn't go into paradise. So in other words, there's no escape from hell. Once a person is in hell, he's there forever. And then we see here, the Bible tells us also that he asked if they could send Lazarus to warn his five brothers. Send someone to warn them, because if they're warned, they'll repent. And notice he said they have the prophets. And he said that they wouldn't repent. But notice, he basically is telling them he could not send someone there to warn them. Amen? If a person is in hell, guarantee they don't want their loved ones to be in hell. When they find out hell is real, they want everyone, they wish they could let everyone know that it is real so they wouldn't come to that place. And yet, when a person is in hell, they can't send warning to someone else. That's an awful place, isn't it? But you know what's worse about this place? When a person will go to hell, the very presence of God is nowhere to be found in hell. Can you imagine what they're going through? And the Bible speaks of, if we go back to Matthew 11, the Bible speaks of those varying degrees of hell. Now notice here, when he talks to these, we've just read this passage here. When he talks of these cities, notice he says it'll be more tolerable. He uses that word in verse 22, at the day of judgment and then for you. And then in verse 24 again, that it'll be more tolerable. In other words, he's saying it's better for those that didn't have the light as much as the other ones did. The more light you receive, the more judgment you will get. Those that reject Christ, like we look at today in America, man, we're saturated with the gospel. It's everywhere. In some of these third world countries, you can't find anything. So what's he saying? He's saying those that have the light, those that receive more light, there's going to be different degrees of punishment, amen? It says it'd be more tolerable. If it was the same, would he say that? No, he's telling us that. Notice, go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And look at verse number 12. This is when Jesus sends out his disciples. He says, "And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be," there's that phrase again, "more tolerable for a land of Sodom, for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city." So here he's also talking about that. You know what? A person that goes to hell on the Baptist church pew is going to have it worse in hell than somebody out there in one of them third world countries. Why? Because they've been given the light. They've been given more light, and they still refuse. And he's saying there's going to be different degrees of punishment. Amen? More light was given to some of those than others, and those that were given the light were going to be punished more. Amen? The Bible speaks of the duration of hell. Let's go back to the verse that we read, this, the opening verse, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And now we're going to look at verse number 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." The Bible tells me two things here. The Bible tells me, number one, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Those angels are the ones that rebelled with Satan. Amen? That's where hell was prepared for. But notice, he's saying that those that reject him will be, depart from me, cursed into everlasting fire. Notice that phrase, it says everlasting fire. The word everlasting, the Greek word, is aionios, which means without ending, never to cease. There's a difference in the degree of punishment they'll get in hell, but not the duration. Everybody that goes to hell will be there forever. Amen? This isn't, poof, you're going to burn up. I've heard people, and there's some denominations that believe that when a person goes to hell, they burn up and that's it. Where did they get that from? Jesus didn't say that. Jesus talked about it being enduring over and over. There's no such thing as purgatory. Purgatory is not mentioned in here. Person doesn't go to purgatory and get prayed out, or people pay money to the church in order to get them out. There's no such thing in the Bible. And I want you to notice also, Mark chapter 9, speaking along these lines about hell being forever. Verse 42 says this, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." And then notice, you go on to the verse 46, "where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Verse 48, "where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." In other words, Christ is repeating over and over that hell is forever. It is forever. And so, why shouldn't we? You know what? I'm hoping for two things here in this message. I'm hoping, number one, if someone is here and they're lost, they've never trusted Christ as their Savior, that they'll be motivated knowing that hell is forever. And if they die without Christ, they're going to go to hell and they're going to be there forever. And then for those that are saved, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would convict your heart, because of the opportunities we have to witness to people and we let them go by, and we're not thinking, these people, if they die without Christ, they're going to be in hell forever. Some of you have family members, some of you have friends, some of you have co-workers. And you know what? Right now, if they were to die, they would go into hell forever. There's no way of getting them out. There's no way of soothing their pain. They're going to be in torments forever. Shouldn't that motivate us as Christians to want to do what's right? Now, I want you to go here. The Bible speaks of the judgment that awaits us. I want you to go to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. Now, prior to the millennium, I want you to see what it says here in verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, what do we see here? Notice, this is not, you know, people talk about, you know, partying in hell. There's no such thing as partying in hell. All there is torment. Amen? Now, I want you to notice what he says here. It said that he cast them, in verse 3, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. In other words, Satan didn't want to go. He doesn't want to go there. But he's being cast, amen? And then the Bible tells us he's sealed there for 1,000 years. So prior to the millennium, Satan will be bound, he'll be cast in there, and he's there for 1,000 years. And the Bible says that after that, he must be loosed a little season. So after the millennium, he's going to be loosed a little bit. But I want you to notice in verse number 10, after the millennium, notice what it says. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet, what's that next word, are. In other words, 1,000 years later, they tell us that, you know, Satan is loosed a little bit, but the other two parts of his trinity, the beast and the false prophet, when they go back that 1,000 years later after they loose him out, then he goes back in there, they cast him back in, and it's telling us that the beast and the false prophet are there. So that tells us hell is forever. They didn't burn up. They're there. And when Satan was loosed, he was still there. So the Bible tells us here that it's forever. Amen. That judgment will be forever. And notice this next part. What happens to those people who didn't trust Christ? Notice verse number 11. I saw a great white throne, Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here's the judgment. Those that have not trusted Christ as their Savior, they'll stand before God one day at the great white throne judgment. And they will be judged according to their works. Everyone that's judged according to their works at this judgment is going to go to hell. This is for the lost. This is the lost people being judged on their works. We're going to be judged on our works in front of Christ But we're not being judged on our works based on whether we're going to heaven or hell. We're going to be judged based on our works as far as getting rewards. But the people here at the Great White Throne Judgment, they're going to be based on their works. And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So in other words, every one of them is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Notice, they were cast. They didn't jump in. They didn't go willingly. They had to be cast in. They didn't want to go. But the problem is, it doesn't matter whether we want to go or not. If they rejected Christ, when they took their last breath, that's it. Too late. They will be cast. They will be judged and cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible says there that it is forever. Amen. They said they were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So these people will be there forever. If you're here and you haven't trusted Christ, this is serious. The Bible is clear. How do I avoid hell? Well, the Bible's clear. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the only way. Amen. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ is the only way. Your works won't do it. My works won't do it. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. The only way we can go to heaven is to repent of our sins and trust Christ as our Savior. He's already done the work. He did the work on the cross. Amen? So I want to ask you this morning, the most important question, do you know 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Has there been a point in time in your life where you've trusted Christ as your Savior? If there has not been a point in time, that's telling you right away, you need to be saved. But the good news is you're still here. You're still breathing. As long as you're breathing, you can be saved. The Holy Spirit convicting your heart is telling you, do it now. Because you're not guaranteed. You're not guaranteed before this service ends. You're not guaranteed to be able to walk out that door. My hope, Lord willing, all of us will walk out the door, we'll be fine. But can I tell you this? There have been people in churches before, Brother Juan, that have died in church. I'm just trying to let you know that you need to get it settled. If you're not saved, get it settled now. Don't wait. Don't say, well, I'll be embarrassed to go up there. People think I'm a Christian. Now think about this. You're willing to go to hell for eternity because you don't want to be embarrassed. That doesn't make sense, does it? Just like many times I knock on a door and I'm trying to tell a person if they died, do they know they're going to heaven? And they're like, I don't have time right now, I'm doing my laundry. And I think, your laundry's more important than whether or not you're going to heaven or hell? All that is the devil trying to make you put it off. Amen? The devil knows, he knows that most people, if they just look at this world, they know that there has to be a creator. And when they look at the Bible, they know that Christ died and he rose the third day. And so they're trying to refute that many times, but a lot of times Satan just uses, oh yeah, just wait, just wait, just wait. And you take that last breath and it's too late. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I want to ask you this question. The pianist comes and plays. If you died right now, do you know 100% sure that you would go to heaven? I wonder, in a testimony to God, if you would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know 100% sure if I died right now, I would go to heaven. Would you raise your hand in a testimony to God? I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know 100% sure. I wonder if there would be someone here to say, Pastor, I can't say that. Someone with an uplift hand, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I would go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Just want to pray for you, anyone. I don't know. I hope that's true. Let me ask you this. How many of you would have to say, Pastor, I've got family members that are lost. I've got friends that are lost. I've got coworkers lost. Help me have a burden for them. Would you raise your hand? Help me to have a burden for them. Hands all over. God bless you. Listen, we can't save anyone, but thank God we can point them to the one that can. This altar's open. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, increase that burden upon me of my lost loved ones, lost friends, my lost family. Help me to have a burden for them. Lord, help me have a desire to witness to them and be that witness I ought to be for them before it's too late. This altar's open. If the Lord has spoke to your heart, you come.